Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Scales Corporation 2017 Annual Results Call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key, then 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Andy Borland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Andy Borland, Managing Director of Scales Corporation. I'd like to welcome you to the Scales Full Year Results Announcement for the 12 months ended 31 December 2017. With me today is Steve Kennelly, our CFO. Earlier this morning we lodged our result with the NZX, which included a presentation pack that we'll base our comments on during this call. Steve and I will run through the slides, then we'll take questions. If you've any further questions after the call, we'll be available for the rest of the day. So moving to slide 2, the agenda. The agenda for today's slide pack is consistent with previous announcements. We'll touch on the year's highlights, the financials for both the group and the divisions, aspects of capital management, the outlook for 2018, and finish with an update on group strategy. The photo there is of the Longview site. Moving though to slide 4, Scales by the numbers. This summarises our group's financials for the year. We're pleased to report that we generated another record revenue at just under $400 million, 7% up on last year. Underlying EBITDA of $62 million is at the top end of our previously provided guidance, and underlying net profit was $32.7 million. Whilst profitability was lower than our record 2016 result, it's reflective of the experience and abilities of the Scales team, who have managed to minimise the negative impact of a tough growing season and competitive trading conditions. During 2017, we declared dividends for a total of 19 cents per share, up on 2016's 14.5 cents per share. Slide 5 and some strategic operating highlights. Mr. Apple exhibited its typical robustness by generating total export volumes of 3.55 million TCEs in line with last year. On a like-for-like basis, that is excluding Longview, the total crop was only down by 5% from the record 2016 volumes, 2016 having been one of the best growing seasons in Scales history. The acquisition of Oceanair completed on 1 August, and whilst a relatively small transaction, it's added the ports of Auckland and Melbourne to our logistics network, as well as experience exporting avocados and kiwifruit. We've also made significant progress in global market access and brand development within horticulture. We continue to invest in advertising, collateral and branding directed at the Asia consumer, working alongside our customers. We expect this to continue to pay dividends in the 2018 year. Pleasingly, volumes and tonnage shipped, handled and manufactured by the storage, logistics and food ingredients divisions were all up on last year. A particular standout was balanced cargo, which increased air freight tonnes handled by 88%. Pet food ingredients sales volumes were up 20% on 2016, to just shy of 28,000 tonnes, a great result. We've also appointed a head of health and safety and sustainability to oversee that area. I'll now pass over to Steve to run through the financials.
Thanks, Andy. Turning to slide 7, it summarises our financial results in more detail. And as Andy highlighted, we're pleased to deliver a very, very solid result. As Andy also mentioned, revenues are up 7% to almost $400 million, with the growth coming from storage and logistics and food ingredients divisions. Underlying EBITDA was affected by a combination of factors at Mr. Apple, together with margin pressures at Mr. Meteor, but at $62 million was at the top end of our guidance range. And our reported net profit of $31.8 million includes all non-cash fair value gains and losses. Turning to slide 8. This shows our 5-year profitability trends at both group and divisional levels. Underlying group EBITDA and NPAT have increased at annual growth rates of 10% and 13% respectively, and underlying divisional EBITDAs have also increased at growth rates of between 8% and 14%. Turning to slide 9 and our balance sheet. The first balance sheet slide summarises Scales' operating assets. As expected, fixed assets, and in particular land and buildings, continue to be a significant element of our balance sheet. Capital employed has increased by around $14 million compared to 2016, mostly due to increased working capital, a result of increased revenues in storage and logistics and in Meteor. There's also been a small increase in goodwill as a result of the acquisition of Ocean Air. Over the page on slide 10, we show our group liabilities and financial indebtedness. Net debt at the end of the year was just under $41 million, resulting in average net debt for the year of $54.8 million. The increase in net debt from 2016 is mainly due to the increase in working capital at year end. We continue to have significant levels of headroom in our covenants, which means we're able to react quickly and confidently to potential acquisitions and other strategic opportunities. At this point, I'll hand back to Andy to cover off the divisional highlights for 2017.
Thanks, Steve. Turning to slide 12, once again, Mr. Apple and the broader horticultural team have delivered another strong result. In summary, revenue was in line with 2016 at $228 million. Gross margins were down due to a combination of slightly reduced prices compared to 2016's record prices, additional on-orchard expenses and additional labour. Slightly reduced Mr. Apple volumes also contributed. Underlying EBITDA was just short of $39 million. Packouts were in line with 2016. It was extremely beneficial to have the benefit of Longview's packhouse and cool store. And Fern Ridge continued to deliver with a solid EBITDA of $2.3 million. Moving to slide 13, as I mentioned earlier, our overall export volumes of 3.5 million TCEs were in line with 2016. Premium volumes were slightly down on 2016 due to the inclement weather conditions, but once again, we had strong growth in our New Zealand Queen variety, which is targeted to the Asia market. Slide 14, and prices. We believe our strategy is helping us to obtain a price premium for our apples. Our weighted average price achieved in 2017 was only 3% lower than the record prices achieved in 2016. Slide 15, we maintained our internal and external grower volumes, notwithstanding the inclement weather, and we believe we performed favourably compared to the broader industry. Our 2017 FX rates were also in line with 2016, but we may start to experience headwinds post-2018 if current spot rates are maintained. On to slide 16. Asia and the Middle East continue to be a key focus for us. As a result, we're continually scrutinising orchard returns and redeveloping orchards accordingly. We're continuing to invest in targeted marketing, packaging, products and brands for those markets. China Resources is helping us with access to the large China market. We're also continuing to develop and or acquire new brands and PVRs. Dazzle was successfully launched at the end of 2016 and I can confirm that further varieties will be released in 2018. Slide 17, our storage and logistics division. This division delivered an excellent result with overall revenues up 16% to $126 million and EBITDA up 18% to $19.1 million. Cold stores reaped the benefit of industry conditions and storage times returning to normal trends with EBITDA up 24%. We've merged Polarcold and Wakatu under the single brand Polarcold, with new modernised logo being rolled out across the network. Slide 18, we had an excellent performance with Scales Logistics, which includes balanced cargo, with EBITDA up 46% on 2016. As previously mentioned, containers shipped were up 19% and air freight tonnes handled were a significant 88% of 2016. Unfortunately, Liquio was impacted by the combination of the loss of a large customer, closure costs of a previously exited site and lower volumes. However, we do anticipate volume increases from at least one key client together with other operating improvements. To slide 19, the KPIs for storage and logistics. We increased our leased cold store space in Christchurch by 5%, securing space for anticipated demand. And our increased activity at Scales Logistics can be attributed to increased revenue from both internal and external customers, as well as the acquisition of new customers. Turning to slide 20 and the outlook for the division, the cold stores have begun the year with higher levels of goods in store relative to this time last year, and new racking will further improve utilisable space and earnings potential. Scales Logistics anticipates further increases in activity, whilst Liquio expect to benefit from increased forecast storage volumes. Overall, we hope for ongoing improved results from this division. Slide 21, food ingredients. Meateor continued its sales growth, increasing volumes sold and revenues by 20 and 19% respectively compared to last year. Profruit sales volumes were steady, impacted by the growing season as well as the general improvements being made in orchard practices, which is reducing the overall amount of fruit suitable for processing in the market. This, together with increased margin pressures, saw a reduction in divisional EBITDA of 13% on 2016. However, we're looking at a number of strategic initiatives to build scale within the division in 2018. On to capital management. Steve.
Turning to slide 23, we target a long-run group return on capital employed, or ROCE, of 15% and EBITDA margins of 13%. And we have individual ROCE targets for each division. And I'm pleased to report that all divisions exceeded their ROCE targets in 2017. And as an aside, it should be noted that the 2016 horticultural ROCE calculation excluded the effect of the Longview acquisition due to its timing. However, Longview is included in the 2017 numbers. Our EBITDA margins are also positive and above the group target level. Slide 24 shows our CapEx for 2017. Total CapEx was slightly lower than 2016 at $13.5 million due to lower growth CapEx. Some of the major CapEx projects are noted on the slide, including the continuing orchard redevelopment, upgraded facility for RSE workers at Mr. Apple, racking upgrades at Wakatū and Scales Logistics, and various IT projects and upgrades. I'll hand back to Andy.
Okay, moving on to slide 26. We remain confident in our outlook for Scales. The apple harvest is underway slightly earlier than last year, and initial indications are positive. We expect total gross production to be in line with five-year averages and also expect that pack-out rates will be in line with 2017. Demand for our apples is still strong, and we're ensuring marketing and advertising efforts are targeted appropriately. In storage and logistics, we're anticipating higher volumes both with FMCG customers and export producers, and so we expect that 2018 will build on 2017's success. Food Ingredients also expects higher volumes with potential changes in product mix, and we're reviewing a number of projects and strategies that we hope will grow the division. As a result, based on factors currently known to us, the directors of Scales support our previously provided EBITDA guidance for 2018 of between $58 and $65 million. Moving to slide 27. I'd like to now give you an update on our group strategy. Turning to slide 28, as a group, the directors have been considering Scales' overall strategy. We believe that New Zealand's agribusiness sector is at an exciting stage. There are a number of current trends such as environmental concerns and food safety, and we feel that we're at the forefront of some of these areas. We've seen that our most sustainable returns since listing have been through fully integrated and or export opportunities. As a result, we've refreshed our strategy to focus on pure agribusinesses that play to our strengths, being those that are fully vertically integrated, export-led, add value from our China relationships. Implementing our refresh strategy will result in a rebalancing of our current portfolio of businesses, with future acquisitions being aligned with our strengths and divestment of operations that are not aligned. Moving to slide 29. This summarises the range of industries in the primary sector that we've earmarked for consideration. These industries represent almost 80% of New Zealand's merchandise exports and, we believe, provide long-term genuine growth and accretive development options for Scales. That concludes today's formal presentation. We're happy to take questions.
Thank you. Just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key, then 1 on your phone and wait for your name to be announced. The first question comes from Luke Mills of Craigs Investment Partners. Go ahead, please.
Cool. Thanks, moderator. And good morning, Andy and Steve. Congratulations on the solid result. Just three questions from me. First of all, on the horticulture business, you noted in your pack, I think it's slide number 14, that average price per TCE was down 3% on last year, and that reflects a record PCP, but also some softness in the overall market pricing. Taking into consideration it's still early days, what are your expectations looking into FY18?
The outlook's probably looking positive. There's a number of known impacts on, other areas of the world. The major drought in South Africa is obviously restricting their apple volumes, and particularly the size of their apples and the colour of their apples. So that's, they compete with us, those apples, in Europe, so they're going to be less of a threat. There's a widely, last spring in Europe there was a huge frost event, which really did take out a lot of apple supply. So the northern hemisphere window, is opening earlier for us. So we'll be shipping apples to Europe probably 3 to 4 weeks earlier than we would have been in prior years. So we're expecting, a pretty good market in that, UK, Europe, and the Asian market's looking positive. So net, I would say, we're looking at, potentially slightly better prices than we achieved last year.
Cool, thank you. And just on the volume front, in your outlook statement, I think it's slide number 26, you noted that you expect production levels to be more consistent with your five-year average, which kind of implies about a 10% decline on PCP. Is this kind of the right way to be thinking about that, or am I a little bit off there?
You're probably a bit off. I mean, we use that as sort of a guide, that five-year rolling average. Since listing, we've generally been ahead of it in our actual performance. So, we're looking at, just sitting here today, better volumes than last year.
Okay, perfect.
I'll add to that in saying that the conditions this year have the crops earlier, so the growing conditions were better net, compared to the last 2 years, which had been later seasons, and the average count size is looking likely to be up, a count size, so that is, it creates more cartons, if you like, with bigger apples, so that's a positive as well.
Cool, thanks. And just final question from me, and it's just on the minimum wage. Obviously, there's a lift in that coming through. What kind of impact would you expect this to have, I guess, specifically on workers on the RSE scheme, just broader?
We've always paid more than the minimum wage. We're thinking that the RSE scheme is you earn what you pick, if you like, but the average rates we're paying are, at least $2 above the minimum wage, and we'd like to see that continuing. Clearly, if there's significant increases in the minimum wage, and across all of our businesses, we've got to look to keep costs, in line with earnings ratios and all the rest of it, so we'd have to look for ways to put in more automation, etc.
Cool. Thanks, guys. That's all from me.
Thank you. The next question comes from Kaiyu Yeo of First New Zealand Capital. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Andy and Steve. Just a follow-up question on the quality that you're observing on orchards at the moment. Andy, could you comment how the colour is looking compared to the crop last year. We're getting sort of mixed signal from various growers in the Hawke's Bay region, and also in terms of the BRICS level as well. Thanks.
Look, I think, you know, just the early indications of the crop we're harvesting at the moment is the colour, you know, is okay. It's certainly not, you know, a major problem at this stage. Clearly we intervene as we can with the white cloth used to reflect the light back up into the trees. You know, the conditions in these last 3 or 4 weeks have been a bit duller with, you know, and the humidity has been an issue, but, you know, the major part of our harvest hasn't really, you know, happened yet, and, you know, so they're getting, you know, the Braeburns and the rest of the Queens, etc., you know, the conditions, like at the moment, are ideal, so they'll be benefiting from that. So I don't think colour's going to be a major issue this year at this time. BRICS is down a little bit, but not to the extent where it's causing any quality issues. You know, the storage techniques we've got today, harvesting the apple on time, all of the management interventions that the guys can do, you know, can mitigate most of those issues, and we're looking at a good crop KU that, you know, we're not overly concerned about any quality aspects at this stage.
Okay, that's great. Just to follow up, comments on food ingredient, please, where the sources of additional competition is coming from, with reference to the margin pressure that you had outlined.
Look, the pet food sector is a hot one, so there's plenty of demand, you know, for raw material supply, and that generally we can, you know, we're the middle person, the middleman, so we're passing the prices on. But I guess I reference product mix changes. I guess because of our, you know, strong position, and, you know, Meateor being a strong company financially, we've been able to take on, especially with this hot summer, the meat companies couldn't even handle some of the product that they were processing in such a rush with the drought pre-Christmas. Or the dry conditions for their farmers. So we were getting a lot more product. You're seeing that in our balance sheet with year-end stocks. Some of those products are, I guess, lower value products like offals and that sort of thing. So that's the mix change that we're referencing. And also, obviously, our move to Australia, there's a change in mix over there. So it's not really a, you know, a margin. We wrench in margins because, you know, there's less margins in offals, if you like, but we probably should have emphasised more that mix change.
Got it. Okay. And a final question for Steve. Steve, could you give us a handle on CAPEX program in FY 18 and 19, whether it'll stay above 10 million or some sort of a guidance there, please?
Yeah, look, it's likely to, KU. I think it would be around about the same as 2017. There's no major projects planned for 18 or 19, and our operational CAPEX is around that, you know, 7 to 7.5 mark where it's been for the last 2 years. So I think just with ongoing orchard development alone added to that, operational CAPEX would get us to the 10. So, look, it's likely to be around about 17, I would have thought.
Okay, so around the sort of 13 mark.
Yeah, sorry, around 2017's figure of 13.5, yeah.
Yeah, got it. Okay, thank you.